this morning, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 1. John, chapter 2, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Let's pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, once again thanking you again for the privilege of worshiping you. And Lord, knowing that where two or three are gathered in your midst, we're reminded that there are you right there. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence. We ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to lead us into worship, that we might truly worship you in spirit and in truth. Again, Lord, that you might be honored and glorified and our lives blessed. Bless your people, bless your word this morning, and we'll be careful to thank you. For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message is simply, "They Have No Wine." They have no wine. And we'll take a look at some interesting things here concerning our text, and we'll see that it that actually honors God changes the life of the believer. What is it actually that glorifies God and changes the life of the believer? Well, we can sum it up in one word: faith in God, right? Faith. And so we thank the Lord for that. And this morning, I think, as we consider our text, we'll see a little more clarity on how to define this idea of faith that God brings into our life. I want to back you up just here just a moment to chapter 1, and I want you to see that faith, believe it or not, is a work of God. We don't have faith in and of ourselves. God gives us the reason for faith. He gives us, first of all, the Holy Spirit conviction to see that we're undone. And then he gives us also understanding that there's nothing we can do to fix that. We can't help God in any way at all whatsoever. And that he has paid the price completely. Don't you like that? The whole price has been paid for our redemption. And we just simply are the recipients of that. So let's look at John chapter 1 here. And back up with me, if you will, to verse 45. And it says here, "Philip findeth Nathanael," John 1:45, "and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Did you see that? I mean, they're telling him, they're saying, "Listen, I want you to know, we found the Messiah." How did they know that? They couldn't have known unless God revealed that to them. And so they're saying, "Listen, we have found him. There's no question about it. This is him." Wow, listen, God brought them to that. And now they're so excited, they're wanting to tell their closest friends and move on from there. And so notice what it says here. "And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see." I like that. In other words, there's nothing good that comes out of Nazareth. And my goodness, may that be a spiritual insight for you and I. God can make the least likely places to glorify him. Oh, listen, that gives me hope. The least likely place that God can anything good. Listen, if you'd have told my friends growing up, you know, George Jancher was going to become a preacher, they would have said, "Could anything good come out of George Jancher?" Because we were cohorts. We were always into mischief and getting ourselves in trouble, not doing anything that were breaking the law. But you know, we were always doing all kinds of crazy things. We'd take shopping carts and flip them on their sides and put boards on them and run our bicycles over those things and try to make ramps out of them. It's amazing that I didn't kill myself. Amen. Just doing all kinds of jumping off roofs. I don't know why we did that, but we jumped off, you know, not real high roofs or anything. We just did some crazy things. And can any good thing come out of our life? Yes, if God's in it. If God is in it, he can make things that seem to be impossible, of course, possible. And so Philip says, "Come and see."
Come and see. Listen, you know what the invitation this morning for you and I as believers is? Come and see the goodness of God in a greater way. Hey, listen, for the unbeliever, come and see and taste for yourself how good the salvation of God is that brings peace and joy, comfort and confidence of eternal life. Listen, do you think I could stand up here Sunday after Sunday if I didn't know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I had eternal life? This is not an illusion or a disillusion. This is a fact that God had illuminated to my heart and to my mind and to my understanding that eternal life is real and it is found in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who does everything perfect. And so they said, come and see. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. So the Lord is making this proclamation, letting him know, you know what he's saying? I know exactly who you are. That's what Jesus was saying. I know who you are this morning. May I tell you something? God knows who we are. And he also wants to bring us into a closer relationship with him, as well as these disciples that were right here with the Lord. So he says in verse 48, Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? That's a good question. From where do you know me? Because he didn't know him. And here's the truth. And even if we don't know the Lord, God knows every single person who has ever lived, who is living, or who will ever live. Not only does he know that, but he says the very hairs of your head are numbered. They have a number. And that is amazing to me, the infinite wisdom of God. And so he says, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and saith unto him, before that Philip called thee. Remember, Philip was the one that told him, come and see. And he said, before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Now watch this. Listen, remember what he just asked him. Where do you know me from? Well, he just tell him, I want you to know how much I know you, how well I know you. And look what it did for Nathanael. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, what? Rabbi, teacher, thou art, listen, the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? Thou art the King of Israel. Just like that. I mean, listen, you remember what he said at the beginning? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? What do you think the implication was? That makes, you know what he was saying? That makes no sense at all. Nothing good can come out of that. Oh, yes. Listen, God brings wisdom and understanding where we can't find it. And so, and by the way, it's right in front of us. It's never far away. It's right in front of us. And that's because God is everywhere. And so as we consider this, listen, question. What just transpired there? Well, God gave faith to Philip, Peter and Andrew, and now to Nathanael. Is that not what he's doing? Is he not giving them faith to believe the truth? Were they not just blind just moments ago? And now, especially Nathanael, now he sees the truth. And so it brought him to the place. Question, would you call what Nathanael just did and what he just said, would you call that worship? Would you call that honoring God? Absolutely. Look, Lord, you were right in front of me. Lord, you saw me. And that's what brought him to the place to say, yes, you're the rabbi. Yes, you are the Savior, the Son of God. And so notice what the Lord says. The Lord says, okay, you've graduated. We're done. Right? That's what he said. I don't need to do any more. You can just wing it on your own now, right? No. Listen to what the Lord says here. Ready? Verse 50. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Absolutely, Lord, because if you didn't do that, I would never believe. And so, yes, Lord, I do believe. You've given me the understanding that brought me to faith in who you are. Is that not what just transpired? Did we just not see Nathanael come to understand and see that the Son of God came out of Nazareth? And the Savior of the world, God brought him to this place. And Jesus says, because you've seen this, listen, thou shalt see greater things than these. Listen, if you're here and you're saved, could you say amen? Amen. All right, now listen. Was that a great thing that happened in your life? Do you know that that's just the beginning? God wants to show you and I greater things. Isn't that something? Listen, if God can show you your need for eternal life, and if God can reveal himself as your personal Savior, and you've experienced the free pardon of your sins by the grace of God, God says, that is just the beginning. I want to show you so much more. Listen, on this side of eternity, oh, and wait till you see me face to face. What a day that's going to be. So consider this. He says, thou shalt see greater things than these. Verse 51. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon, where? The Son of Man. Amen. Himself. You are going to see more of the glory of God in your personal life. You're going to see this taking place. Do you know that the same is true for the believer even this morning? Listen, can any good thing come out of you not without God? Listen, what was it that made Nazareth so good? It didn't have a great reputation. It was Jesus that came out of Nazareth that gave Nazareth a good reputation. What was it that brought faith to Nathanael, if not the revelation of Jesus Christ that he had given him? So all these things God wants to give into our lives. And by the way, listen, we cannot bring ourselves to this place, but God can. Now, here's the simple question. Do you believe that this morning? That's your personal choice. Do you believe that God can do these things? We look to ourselves and what we can do and what we can't do, and that will limit the hand of God. Because when we're looking to ourselves and what we can do and what we can't do, we are surely not looking at God at that moment. When we say, well, God, I know I can't do this. And you know what God would say, really? I know that. I know you can't do it. That's why I want to give you my power in your life. And so we have to stop looking to ourselves. And by faith, listen, here's how it works. Believe that you receive what God has promised. Can you do that? Or does it sound a little hokey pokey to you? That's what the world would, oh, that's hokey pokey. Oh, listen, if you were there the day I got saved, you would know what I know. There's no hokey pokey about it. It's all the real thing. And so God says, I have made you a joint heir. I have made you the recipient of my grace. You know what? Listen, if you were to die today as a saved child of God, would you not go to heaven? Try that again. If you were to die today as a saved child of God, would you not go to heaven? Amen. Amen? You absolutely would. Why? Because of what God has given to us. His grace. And he says, now you're born again, now you're my child, I have freely given, I want you to know I gave you my son, Jesus Christ, and if I've given him, will I not also freely give you how many other things? All things. All things, all things. This morning, do you need some help overcoming sin? This morning, do you need some help overcoming yourself, right? Do you know that if we do things in our own power that are good, it dishonors God? Let me back up. Let me say that again. Listen, are you listening? If we do something good for God in our strength, who are you going to thank for doing that good thing? Not God. Listen, what God did, what Jesus did for Nathanael, what did he do? He gave praise unto the Lord. But if Nathanael did it, if somebody gave him a book and said, well, listen, he's going to come out of Nazareth and God gave him something that nobody could do for him, not even Nathanael himself. God is wanting to do that for your life and mine. And I want you to see and understand that God wants us to see and understand this important truth this morning. That is what glorifies God. And that will be what will bring you and me to the place of I'm going to stop right here and praise God. I'm going to stop right here and glorify the Lord because of what he just did for me. God wants that to happen more than just on Sunday morning. God wants that to happen every day of our lives. As we walk, why? Because is God not with us?
Yes, that's right.
Try that again. Is God not with us? Will he ever leave us?
No.
Will he ever forsake us?
No.
You mean to tell me you believe he's right here, right now?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. And let me ask you this. Does he want you and I to receive a blessing from him that we might praise and thank his holy name? Amen. Or does he just want us to do things in our own strength and our own might so we can say, man, whew, I made it through that one. I'll have to go again next Sunday. I'll have to go again the next time church is open and endure another message. That you know what that's telling us? We're not getting a single thing from God. And it's not that he's not giving it. It's just maybe we've not said, Lord, it requires faith to believe the Lord, right? God, help me to understand that you are wanting to freely give me all these things and I don't have to manufacture them for myself. All right. Very quickly, we want to consider four thoughts this morning, very quickly. And that is the time. So when we consider what God is doing, and we see that the heart of God is glorified by blessing the believer, four thoughts this morning. The time, the six water pots of stone, faith that was given, and God glorified. Watch this recipe for success and a great experience in our own personal lives as we look to what Jesus was doing. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2, and let's consider this time. And first of all, we find it was the third day that he was in Galilee. Then we'll see it was a time of a wedding, and then we'll also see that it was a time of need, right? So there was a time that he was there for the third day. Let me ask you this, in Galilee, how long has the Lord been with you? Well, he's been with you from the very beginning, but he's been with you personally the day you got saved. Isn't that good? All right. And the third day, verse 1, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both, listen to this, Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. So this is important. So we find in the first verse, it was the third day that he was there in Galilee. Secondly, we find that there was a time of wedding and the Lord and his disciples were invited. That's a good place to be wherever God is invited. And so we find also this time of need and also really a time of faith. Verse 3, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Now listen, I want you to stop and think about this. What was it that moved the mother of our Lord, Mary, to ask Jesus for this? If not God. Listen, was she wishy-washy about what God was doing? You know why? Because she was in step with what God was doing. God bring us in step so that we know what to ask for. You and I really don't know how to pray unless God takes us to the place to where we see what he's, we think God wants to do this and we think God wants to do that and we start running over here, we start doing this and we start doing that, and is it really what God is wanting? Or are we just giving God what we think he should have? There's a difference. Listen, God will bless when we know and when we are in step with knowing with what he is doing, and God has to bring us even into that. But boy, oh boy, we're really quick to say, we need to do this and we need to do that, and let's just get busy for God, and God might be saying, you missed it. I'm not wanting that at all. Not that that's not a good thing, not that it's a bad thing, but I want you to see something here, the kind of faith that God brings, and this is the kind of assurance he wants to bring into your life and mine. So she says this, they have no wine. Now, this is the wine of merriment. This is the wine that's the fruit of the vine that God has promised. And so this is something that's in lockstep with what the Lord is doing. But the thing is, Mary knew what Jesus was getting ready to do because God revealed it. Not because she was something special in herself. Listen, the only way that you and I will know what God is doing is for God to reveal it to us and not to second guess God. Not to say, I think. Oh no, listen, God, are you saved today?
Amen.
Do you know that you're saved?
Amen.
Did God let you know that you were saved?
Amen.
Just like he gave us salvation, he wants to lead us so that we will know. Do you think Paul said, boy, I hope I'm going in the right direction. I hope I'm going to the right. Did you think he got a call? Come on over here. We need you over here. And by the way, when the disciples were shook up about him going to die for the Lord, and they said, "Oh, listen, the Holy Spirit," and he did tell him that you're going to die. And he says, "Why are you breaking my heart? I'm going to fulfill the will of God." And you know what they said? They said, "Okay, then let it be God's way." They didn't understand that God was revealing to them what God was getting ready to do with Paul. But God had given Paul, and by the way, the Bible says that the Lord stood by him right after that and said, "You're going to be a witness to me in Jerusalem and in Rome," right? And that was a sure thing. And so what gave Paul confidence was God was communicating to him where he wanted him to go and what he wanted him to do. And God wants to, is God the same yesterday, today, and forever? Amen. That's important to know, because otherwise we don't know which way to go. So watch this, verse 4. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman." Now some would say, "Well, my goodness, it's his mother." No, listen, she is the one, the vehicle that the Lord used to come in. But Jesus existed before he was born into this world. And I want you, it's a good thing, because God is no respecter of persons, but he will honor all those that seek to honor him. You and I included. And so he says, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." And Mary said, "Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. I won't say anything anymore." Is that what she said? How come? Yeah, and God was giving her an understanding of what he was getting ready to do. Does God want us to be blind people walking around not knowing what his will is for this day and age? Lord, what should I do? Well, he did say, "Follow me." He did say, "Seek me and my kingdom and my righteousness first, and I'll give you everything else. I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you understanding." You know, we ought to be like Solomon when God said, "Ask me what you will, and I'll give it to you." And he said, "Oh, listen, I don't even know how to come and go, Lord." And God said, "Because you've asked this, I'm going to give you what you asked for and everything else." Listen, God's not changed. If we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he'll give us that and everything else that we need. Now watch this. His mother, after he says, "My time is not yet come," his mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Listen, could anything have kept Paul from doing the will of God? Why? Because he was looking to the power of God. How many times did he say, "Oh, it's not me, it's Christ in me"? How about Peter? Could anything have kept him from honoring the Lord? No, because he was seeking the Lord, walking with God, and God was leading him. The same is true for you and I. Listen, there is a crown laid up for you and me in heaven already if we just simply love the Lord. And if we love the Lord, we want to keep his commandments. And if that's a problem, we bring that problem. "Lord, I want to love you. And the truth is, I'm not keeping your commandments. And so I'm going to ask you, Lord, to show me how I'm going to keep your commandments." Do you think God wants his people to wallow in sin and be stuck in the mire? Or has he called them to be a royal priesthood, a holy people because he's holy? Listen, a holy people because he's holy, not us. And so, Lord, by faith, that's the way I'm going to walk. I'm not going to be floundering in my sin, but not because of my strength, because of the promised strength of God that he's given to all of his people. Amen. That is the only way. Listen, are we getting ready, or are we ready to believe the promises of God? You cannot enter in. If you don't believe, you're not going to go for it. So the promised land is over there. And the Hebrew people said, "We're out here in this wilderness. We don't have any food. He brought us out here to die." Didn't they say that? See, they started out the promise because they got out of Egypt. They liked that part. They were liberated, but then they floundered out in the wilderness. God does not want you and me to flounder out in the wilderness. He's trying to bring us into something. And he's trying to bring us into life. Whose life? Whose life? His life, not ours. We have no life. Jesus Christ is the resurrection, is he not? And so he wants that to be in existence in our lives. And so She says to him, she had the faith, she had the understanding. It's not this magical thing. It's this wisdom that God, it was God speaking to her, say, do this. This is going to happen. He's going to provide this. And did anything deter her? No. And she, after she said, my time's, after the Lord said, my time's not yet. Then she, did that stop her? Did that slow her down? Or did she go over to the servants after that, hearing that message, she went over to the disciples or to the servants and said, whatever he says, do it. Let me ask you this question. Did she even know what the Lord was getting ready to do? She didn't know. But she did know how she didn't know, but she did know God was going to meet the need and provide. We don't need to know how God's going to do it. All we need to do is to believe that God is going to meet the need and provide. Did he not promise to provide for you and I? He did. All right, so watch this. So here we find six water pots of stone here. And this is an amazing truth when we consider this. But let's read verse 5 again. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. That's amazing. That's amazing. She's a woman telling the servants. She's not a friend of the wedding party, a friend, you know, obviously she was invited and they knew her. And she says, this is what you need to do. And she was not even concerned. She knew that they were going to do whatever he said. Now, let's look at this here. Look at these six water pots. Verse 6, and there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. That's 9 gallons. So that's 18 or 27 gallons in each stone pot. And the intention was, this was for ritualistic cleansing. Ritualistic cleansing, unless the Jews wash much, Mark 7:3, they don't eat and they don't do this and they don't do that. A lot of washing going on, and that's a picture of the law. A lot. But listen, when the grace of God steps in, God was getting ready to use that which could never cleanse anybody to bring forth the grace of God, right? To move away from the letter of the law and to show what the difference the grace of God can make. So he's going to get ready to use this Old Testament purification system to bring forth the grace and the blessing and the happiness that God can bring into the life of the believer. And so, verse 7, Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. Now there's more faith that's going to pop out right here. Well, you know, Lord, I fished all night. You told me to let down the nets. Do you remember Luke chapter 5? But nevertheless, I'm going to let down the net, one net. We'll just let down one net. Now, I'm reminded, this is the way I think. If I was the Lord, I'm not, and I'm not trying to be blasphemous, but if I was thinking, you know, Peter, I told you to let down all your nets. You only let down one. I'm just going to let you catch a few fish. Because you didn't really obey me. That's not God. God gave him so many fish, his boat began to sink. He had to call for his friends to help him. Do you remember that? And now we find here these servants, they were given something that they didn't have before either. And notice what they did here. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the what? How did that happen? Was it because they had... God was doing a work, and they were also excited about what God was getting ready to do, and they had never seen. This is the first miracle they had never seen. And by the way, listen, what a wonderful truth here. All these people are moving, and they had never seen one miracle done by the Lord. See, because we're not looking for a sign, but because we want to honor God, God will show us all the signs we need to build our faith. We know the Lord is real. If you're saved, you know. Listen, is Jesus Christ the Savior of the world? Do we know that? Because we've tasted ourselves, have we not? And so because we know that, we enjoy the idea of honoring the Lord. And the Lord says, because you're seeking me, I'm going to show you things because you're seeking me. Because that honors the Lord, because it requires faith to believe him. Lord, I don't want to walk anymore in my strength. And if God lives his life through me, will he not give me the victory over sins? I didn't say that I would be sinlessly perfected, because I still have to deal with this, all right? Am I going to look to myself every day and every moment of every day? Am I going to look to myself, or am I going to look to God? And I want you to know something. The natural tendency until the day I see Jesus is to look to myself. I have to remind myself every day and ask God, Lord, please, I don't want to walk in my strength. I don't want to walk how I think, because the way I think is not very graceful, right? Here's the way I think. Ready? Lord, this person that drives me nuts. Can you believe there are people that might drive me nuts? How many times shall I forgive them? Lord, 7 times? Is that good with you? No. That's the way I think. How does the Lord think? 70 times 7, doesn't he? See, he's so Peter says, how about this, Lord? Are you impressed with my thinking? Not one bit. Listen, did Peter fall a little bit short of God's idea? He did, didn't he? You and I will fall short when we use our reasoning. We'll never come close to what God is wanting to do in our lives, because what God is wanting to do in our lives is impossible with men, but not with God. Listen, it's high time God's people start living by faith in their God and the promises that he's given, if there's ever going to be hope for people's salvation today. It's going to be by the witness of what God is doing in our lives, not what we're doing for God, that's going to make the difference. And so God is saying, listen, I'm wanting to work, but you have to believe. Mary, the mother of Jesus, did she believe? Did she let anything hinder her? Listen, the Lord himself said, it's not my time. Woman. And maybe the Lord never spoke to Mary like that. And then he said, my time's not, what have I to do with thee? Well, gee, I don't know. But if the Lord would have said that to me, I'd have said, boy, I've missed him completely, right? Not if God had given to me, I'm going to do something, don't quit. Listen, you keep moving forward, I'm going to do something. So here it is, ready? The Lord said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you as my child. The Lord's speaking to you. The Lord's speaking to me. I'm going to overcome sin in your life. As long as you'll look to me, as long as you look to my righteousness and my power, I'm going to do things in your life. So should we let the world discourage us in seeking that? Oh, it's not there. I've tried religion. I read the Bible through and I gave up on that. You give up on it too. You going to buy that? I want to buy the truth and sell it not. Because that's where real peace and real joy comes from. And so the Lord is saying, listen, believe what I'm saying to you. Walk in that truth. And if you have a failure, confess it before the Lord and say, but now, Lord, you fulfill your will so that I will not walk in sin. And so that I'll not fall for the world, the flesh, or the devil's traps. That you might glorify yourself through me. And when we see that taking place, you will do what Nathanael said. Truly, God, you are the Redeemer of Israel and the whole world. Truly, Lord, you have given to me your power. Truly, oh God, your promises are true and your promises are sure. Listen, the only reason why there's no praise is there's no power. God's power. That's the only reason why there's no praise. We're not seeing the power of God. So now watch this. Ready? Jesus says, fill them up to the top. Verse 8, and he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. Now, I don't know exactly how it happened. I'm guessing. Can I just give you a little conjecture on my part? I think the water was already wine when they pulled it out. Mm-hmm. Now, it's a miracle. Any way you look at it, they poured it in there. Jesus said, now bear it out. Maybe as they scooped it out. I don't know. But they had the faith to fill it with water all the way to the top because God was working. They had the faith to either dip the cup in there that was maybe water that turned into wine when? I don't know. Was it already wine when they scooped it up? Or even better, as they came out of there or as they were walking, this is turning red. Or how about this? Maybe it's water all the way till they got it to the master of the feast. Any way you slice it, it's still the work of God. Amen. And they did see it. And by the way, listen, this is what builds, the work of God is what builds our faith. And so they bear it to the governor of the feast. He says, go take it to them, and they bear it. Verse 9. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, so it's already happened, and knew not whence it was. Now, why is there a Holy Spirit parenthetical statement there? Because God gave the very best. There was nothing like this on planet Earth. People pay ridiculous prices for old wine, right? You couldn't have put a price on this one. I would dare say this was the best wine that was ever made. Amen. And that's because God made it. In verse 9, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. Hey, come over here. If I was the bridegroom, I might think, what went wrong? What happened? He doesn't know. The servants are the ones that know. Maybe he knew, I'm not sure, but he called him over, and this is what he said to him. He saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when the men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good until now. I would dare say this bridegroom is saying, I have no clue what you're talking about or how this all worked out, because he had nothing to do with it. The truth is, the worst was set forth and they ran out. Amen? The worst was set out and they ran. Maybe it was their best, whatever it was. But when God gets involved, things happen. Amen. Things change. Amen. And this is, Jesus was changing the use of these water pots that were used for legal purification to bring God's grace and God's joy. And now there's faith given here. In verses 8 through 10, these servants did exactly what the Lord... Question. What were those servants thinking as they were watching all of this? Why did I fill that up to the... I just knew I was supposed to fill it up to the top. I felt good about filling up those water pots all the way up. And I felt good that some crazy thing was going to happen. Because God... Listen, I had this idea because of who was telling me. When Jesus was speaking to me, I felt like all authority from heaven and that made heaven and earth was speaking to me. And I was compelled to do this and watch this. And I was not disappointed. See, it takes God working and moving in the hearts of his people that brings about all these things. But if we're not seeking it, we'll never see it. And by the way, it all started out with Mary. It all started out with Mary. And Mary said, there's a problem, Lord. But wait a minute. It even started before Mary. It started with God in the heart of Mary. Amen. Has Mary ever seen God work before? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to bring forth the Messiah. He's seen him work before. And so now... question, is this faith is it contagious? Is it spreading now? And by the way, not just the servants, but remember Nathaniel? You're going to see greater things. It didn't take very long. The next day he started seeing some great things, didn't he? What did that do for Nathaniel and his opinion of who Jesus was? Well, if I didn't think it before, I surely think it even more now. Listen, when we allow God to work in our lives, I believed it at salvation. I certainly believe it now even more. Because I'm going from faith to faith. I'm going from mountaintop to mountaintop. And that's why Paul said, boy, it was really good when it all got started. But man, oh man, it's elevated now that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I mean, he was moving forward. He was on fire, not because of who he was, but because of God in him. Do we as God's people want to be on fire for God like that? It's a choice. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. And make the choice too in whose power you're going to do it. God says do it in his. We can do it in ours, but we're not going to get very far and we're not really going to enjoy it. And so he says, you've left the good until now. And then the last verse here, God glorified, right? Watch this. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth whose glory? His glory. when the manifestation of God's glory is in your life and in my life, notice what happens and we're finished. Ready? And his disciples believed on him. Wait, didn't Nathanael already believe on him? Didn't Peter and Andrew already come? Look, and Philip, didn't he already believe on him? What does that mean? They were growing in their faith. They were experiencing more of God. May I tell you something? Listen. What you just saw right here this morning is the normal Christian life. Normal. You want to know what the abnormal Christian life? Death, failure. That's abnormal. There's something wrong, right? If we saw a child at birth, baby child, oh, look at that. And parents are even impressed, you know, they feed them and oh, look, you know, they do all the things that they're supposed to be doing, you know, right? You feed them, you burp them, you change them, all this wonderful thing. But what happens if 2-3 years later from now, you're still doing the same thing for them? There's a problem. How about 10 years later? You're going to be seeking some doctors. There's a problem. It's a sad state of affairs for God's people. Remember what Paul said to the Corinthian church? You're babes. You should be eating meat now. You know what he was saying? There's something wrong. Because the love of God is absent. And the understanding of God. Oh, but look, Paul, we could do all these miracles. He says, you know what? You guys are just sound loud noisemakers. Without the love of God. Without the fruit of the Spirit of God. Where do you want to start? Take your choice. Lord, I need to overcome this in my life. But I can't do it. I need you to do it. And I'm going to believe you to do it. And then, Lord, I need your love. And I need your patience. I need the fruit of the Spirit. I don't want to flounder, Lord. I want to be a child that honors and glorifies you. And the Lord says, you know what? Because you've asked that, I'm going to give it. Because it will bless you and bring you to the place to glorify me. And so they saw all this take place. And it manifested. Look at verse 11 and we're done. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. It was whose miracle? The servants, the disciples, or Jesus' miracle? It was the Lord's miracle. Do you need a miracle in your life? What does that mean? Do you need the intervention of God to do something for you that you cannot do for yourself? Yeah, I do. I'm too weak to live the life of grace. I can't. I have no grace, but God does. Does God have enough grace for me? Amen. Well, does God have enough grace for me? Amen. Really? He can. I won't expire his grace. I won't run through all of his grace. No, the truth is he's got enough grace for everybody. Amen. His grace is infinite. I like that power source. It never runs dry. How about your patience? Do they run dry? Mine do. Mine do. You can think of me all you want. In my own strength, I'll get short. I have, the straw that broke the camel's back. But praise God, he doesn't. So whose power do I want to run in? Mine or his? Again, verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. And because of that, and his disciples believed on him. They said, boy, we want more of that. This morning, God says, I want to give you if you'll just ask. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the living word. We thank you for all of your promises that are true. And all we have to do is ask you to fulfill them in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would move amongst our hearts and minds, even right where we're standing, to ask you, Lord, and that you would even give us the faith to ask you to do these things in us, that you might be honored and glorified, and that we might be awed of your power in our lives that glorifies your name. Bless the invitation, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.